Come on in, sit back and relax. You're listening to episode 230 of the Wealth Tech Today podcast. And I'm your host, Craig Iskowitz, founder of Ezra Group Consulting. And this podcast features news, interviews, and analysis on the trends and best practices all around wealth management technology. And my guest for this episode is Greg Gates, the Chief Technology Officer of LPL. Now, there's a lot of things we covered in this episode. Some very good topics. I thought we spent a lot of time on AI because it's just the thing to talk about these days. I was very interested to hear what LPL's position on AI is and some of the things they're doing. And Greg was kind enough to share some of what they're working on and some things he held close to the vest. But I think we learned a lot about their position on AI. We talked about integrations and their platform strategy with ClientWorks. And of course, we talked about ClientWorks and their new rebalancer, which is the acquisition of Blaze Portfolio they acquired in 2020, that's becoming their new rebalancing tool. And Greg talked about the pilot and when that's going to be rolled out. All right. That's really what we spoke about in this episode. But before we get started, let's talk about tech stacks. Now, at Ezra Group, we've seen tech stacks of hundreds of RIAs. Let me tell you, most of them are loaded down with tech debt. So you shouldn't feel too bad about yours. But let's face it, tech debt is like a giant anchor holding back your business growth. If you want to free your firm for exponential growth, you should run, not walk, to our website, ezragroup.com, and fill out the contact us form. Our experienced team can evaluate your current tech ecosystem, deliver targeted recommendations, optimize your existing systems and operations, or run an RFP and help you implement new software to take your firm to the next level. You can take advantage of our free consultation offer by going to ezragroup.com. A few quick housekeeping items that we always do before the interview. Please subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Check out investinothers.org. That's the Invest in Others Charitable Foundation. They do a lot of good work in our industry, raising money to donate to charities that are either run by or helped by financial advisors. All right, next up on the program, I'm happy to introduce Greg Gates, Chief Technology Officer of LPL Financial. Hey, Greg, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Craig. I'm really excited about it.
I'm glad we could fit some time into your busy schedule. I mean, you are the CTO for probably the largest independent broker-dealer in the country. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's not something we don't like to congratulate ourselves on that. I think what that means is we're doing a good job of adding value to advisors or institutions, and we seek to continue to do so. And I think the growth will probably continue to follow.
And you've got more advisors to add value to with your recent announcement acquiring Atria.
Yeah, we're excited about that. You know, the Atria is a great firm, and they've done some very interesting things in their technology. I'd call out CRM integrations. You know, they have very similar to ours, a commitment to independence and choice in the platform. And they've also done a really good job of integrating capabilities. And so we're excited about that acquisition, and we're excited to onboard them a little bit later in the year.
You guys are an onboarding machine, I got to tell you. It's impressive. But let's jump in. So we've got a bunch of things to talk about, and we have a very little time. So first thing on everyone's mind, mega trends in the industry. And the biggest mega trend we're seeing now is artificial intelligence. So what's LPL's take on AI? Is there anything you can talk about, features, functionality, applications you guys are rolling out or looking to roll out for your advisors?
Sure, absolutely. It would not be a technology discussion in the year 2024 without a discussion of AI. Yeah. We talk about it a lot. And I think there are a couple of things just to set some context. Number one, I think the introduction of ChatGPT in November of 2022 made AI like an everyday conversation for everybody. Of course, we've been at AI for a while. And so I'll describe a little bit of what we had been doing and what we're doing now. In the past, we've used AI to generate insights on our data. We introduced something called Practice Hub to give advisors an ability to see into their portfolio. And those are more like traditional data products. give an advisor or an institution insight into their practice. We also used AI to look at how to streamline our operations. So it was more like, I'll say, internally focused in the past, so that we could run a more efficient and scaled operation. I think the big change that you see here with AI, and specifically what ChatGPT and large language models have been able to provide, is it's a democratization of access to AI. So now you have advisors who can experiment with, hey, how do I generate content more quickly and at a higher quality? That's just sort of scratching the surface. We believe AI is a very significant trend for the wealth management industry. We believe it will be a wonderful assistant to advisors. I think we would reconfirm that we believe our vision is correct, right? We want to be the company that is the most advisor-centric in the wealth management industry. And so we're focused on building tools or enabling tools that help advisors either be a great advisor to their client or help institutions or advisors run more thriving businesses. And so things where you could apply AI in sort of those categories are, I mentioned the content thing, how do you get better at marketing? Are there some next best action type items that you could do potentially? Internally, we're very much focused on how to streamline operations, how to serve our advisors or institutions the way they do a wonderful job of serving their clients every day. We want to apply AI in those contexts as well, so that we provide a higher order of services and assistance for our employees who serve advisors or institutions. So, you know, we could probably go on and on about a number of different AI solutions. I don't want to give it away a little bit early, because we're focused on piloting with a number of advisors some concepts. And then as soon as we believe that we have one that offers differentiated value, of course, we'll deliver it into the market.
Can you describe what those concepts are generally?
Yeah, I think they are really around, how do you help an advisor save time in their day, number one. So, you know, if you could help an advisor be more engaged with their client on a regular basis, and feel a sense of caring, that for the end investor to feel cared about from their advisor, what are the things that you could do? You could auto draft emails at moments that matter at scale, right? So there's some tools that I think we will look at to help advisors be more present with their end investor. We will also be looking at how do you streamline your work in the middle of the day. So a lot of advisor time goes into preparing for meetings, right? And we released a product called Meeting Manager a couple of years ago, which is very successful. AI is another set of tools that make the preparation and the execution and the follow-up from a meeting much more streamlined and automated, and save an advisor time. So they're well prepared for the meeting, but also without as much prep, right? If you look at some of the services that we could offer advisors or institutions, the ability to benchmark themselves, identify actions that they could take to run a more thriving business. We offer, as a wealth management firm, a huge variety of products and services that advisors or institutions could take advantage of. But every practice is unique. And so you could use these tools to help advisors or institutions navigate that list of products, and so that they take advantage of the best that we have to offer and run their version of a perfect practice.
Greg, you covered a lot of ground there. So when you're talking about, thanks for sharing that. That's really helpful and insightful into where you're going with AI. So I have two topics to bring up to you. One is more positive, one's more negative. So on the positive side with AI, I'm gonna throw these out at you. And you didn't know we didn't talk about this when we were prepping. So I see AI as having a very positive benefit across, especially firms such as yours, where you'll have 25,000 advisors soon once Atria comes on board, which means you're gonna have a wide, by definition, a very wide range of capabilities across that advisor base. It's just natural, right? So you're gonna have the top 10% that are super empathetic, really great with clients, just know exactly what to say, the right thing at the right time, because that's just the kind of human beings they are. Then you have the other 90%, maybe the other 80% that are sort of mid-range, then the bottom 10% that are terrible. I see AI as being able to provide advisors, as you mentioned, being more engaged and present, but also giving advisors what to say. Like, hey, this client, you should tell them this. This client is, they're this kind of person. They want to hear these words from you. Or this person just had this event. You should say this to them. So it's really going to level the playing field when it comes to empathy. And as you mentioned, make advisors be more engaged, but also make clients feel more like their advisors are engaged. Then you level that out. Do you see that as a possibility?
Absolutely, I do. And actually, there's I don't I'm not sure it's totally published research yet, but there is as you would expect, a lot of ongoing academic research on this very topic. And you're right, because the large language model is scouring really the best, most logical, mathematically logical suggestion for what to say next. You can essentially model a very empathetic and influential conversation. And the tools are very good at it, such that they do influence human behavior. So I think, first of all, I think it's a reason why I think where you're going on the positives and negatives of this capability, it's another reason why we believe you want to put the advisor at the center of the interaction. I don't think that we ever really want to replace or compete with an advisor for any of those conversations, because first of all, it's the advisor institution's business and practice, number one. Number two, human judgment is still required, right? And at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is simplify or make easier the ability for an advisor to be a great advisor. But you don't necessarily want to make every interaction like every other interaction either, right? There is a differentiation that the human does provide into these circumstances. And so we want to offer it as options for the advisor to choose from. But I don't think that we ever really want to take the place of the advisor in those interactions, because number one, the language is quite influential. And two, we really do believe human judgment is required at the end of the day. So I don't think that we have an intention for like auto deciding things or anything like that. Our goal would be to empower the advisor with information.
Now the dark side, Greg. So do you have any plans for next? I imagine you have some plans for next best actions. That's a common usage for AI and machine learning and predictive analytics. And we've already seen some limited usage of it providing tremendous value. At what point does it become too much, where you're giving advisors day, minute by minute things that they should be doing every step of the way, because because your data is showing here's where the benefits are. Advisors who follow this specific rote script every day that we give you, who to call, what to say, when to do this, when to do this, are much more successful. And the advisors can become more like Uber drivers.
Right. Well, first of all, I think I would just go back and reiterate our principles of independence, right? So we are trying to empower advisors to run their version of how they want to serve their clients. And so I don't think that we're like some of the other firms that are going to be so directive in the experience, right? We do obviously have a heavy amount of investment in our underlying data platform, which includes analytics and offering of suggestions. We've piloted those in our practice hub recently, and we are expanding the number of them. But I'll just reaffirm, We believe in choice, right? So we are putting those suggestions in the place where the advisor's already chosen. I want to go look at something. Is there a place where I can take advantage of some options to run a more thriving business? Are there things that I may or may not be doing that I could take advantage of from a services perspective? Or are there things that I should be doing or should be thinking about? And so we want to pilot those, get advisor feedback. Are the insights actually relevant to their practice? If they are relevant, we want to make sure that they're high quality. And if they're high quality, we want to put them into the place where the advisor is wanting those insights, right?
Exactly.
I think the worst thing that we could do is start peppering an advisor in the middle of a conversation that they're having with their client. We don't want to disrupt that conversation. That's one of the most sacred and important interactions, right? That we need to protect is that human to human interaction that an advisor has with their client. And so so we want to place those insights into the pieces of the solution where they're likely to consume it and want to consume it, right? And so if you go back to just our vision and our principles, that's really what we're about, right? We want to empower advisors to run their version of their perfect practice and take care of their clients the way they best see fit. And so we will work with advisors, and you know, we've got a whole bunch of different affiliation models and a great variety of input. But we'll take all of that input and we'll place the insights when they're relevant and high quality in the place that the advisor wants them, as opposed to us sort of pushing it on advisors.
Of course, I get it. So we burned half this episode on AI. So let's go to the other topics we have to talk about, Greg. We could do the whole episode on AI, but I think I wanted to move on to this other area. So we'll set that aside for just a moment. Let's go to another favorite topic on this podcast, integrations. Now, LPL, of course, you've got your client work platform. You have a tremendous number of applications that are integrated. We've talked about this with other executives on this podcast, but you want to talk more about how you curate your choices and the opportunity to improve quality.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, first of all, I'll set some context, because we've been on a journey here as a firm, right? We've wanted to add the best technology in the industry and put it in the hands of advisors. And so we introduced something called the ClientWorks Connected Platform a few years ago, which gave access into the LPL ecosystem for a number of third-party technology providers. And that was great, right? That was a big advancement for us as a firm. And I think where I would say we're at right now is LPL technology is essentially an operating system with optionality to incorporate third-party systems. And the important part is to make sure that we have data flowing back and forth between LPL and any third party that's out there. We create the most connected experience possible for advisors when we do that, and make sure that we have, you know, bi-directional integrations that create scale and efficiency for them, and make sure that there's a natural connectivity and handoff between all of those applications. When we look at third-party technology, or do we need to build something ourselves, what we're always seeking to understand is, are we going to solve a pragmatic problem with the integration, right? So again, is there a capability that we need to add into the platform or make available into the platform so that an advisor could serve their clients better? Is there a deeper integration that we need to have so that they don't have a lot of swivel chairing or data quality issues, or that lack of a really strong bi-directional integration? And so we're always looking at a couple of different things. What's the strategic relevance of the capability? What's best in class? How do we offer best in class, but offer it not just as a, like, you have a single sign on into the platform, but in a way where information is actually flowing back and forth in a connected ecosystem.
I like it. I like that you mentioned that you see it as an operating system. So that's something I've been trying to come up with a good term for applications like ClientWorks, which is really an end-to-end platform. I wanted to use the term enterprise resource planning, right? It's like an SAP for advisors. It's got the end-to-end, everything you need to run your business, but not like an advisor resource planning, advisor OS. I'm trying to come up with some name for that.
Yeah, no, if you come up with a good one, we're not too proud to take it, Craig. I think, we talk about it internally as our next generation operating platform, actually. And where we really want to be focused is how do we integrate experiences that either we might build or third-party tech that's out there? How do we operate something that is incredibly advisor-centric? It's well articulated. There's not a lot of poor experience for number of clicks, or I mentioned the swivel chairs, or flipping between screens, or multiple entry of the same data. We want to take advantage of our ability to integrate all of these experiences, and then offer a deeply integrated ecosystem. And when I say integration, I mean vertical integration. Take advantage of the fact that we have wonderful custodial capabilities. We have a wide range of affiliation models that allow an advisor to structure their practice really in any way possible that they need to structure their practice, and offer unlimited or unrivaled flexibility in the industry. And with that wide range of affiliation models and capabilities, we really want to make sure they never have a disjointed advisor experience. And so the platform that we're really focused on is an experience platform, right? We don't have to build everything ourselves, but what we have to care for is that it feels like a well-articulated and a well-joined together ecosystem.
One aspect of your company that I thought was impressive was your UX team. And I've got to spend some time with them and see them in action as they walk through new account opening. And they were counting the number of clicks and the number of screen scrolls and trying to reduce that. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you see that fitting into your strategy for clients?
Well, first of all, yeah, absolutely. We're proud of that team. We do have a very mature user experience and user design team. And what we do is we look at strategically what are we trying to accomplish, and then we have the benefit of a really large number of advisors who want to be giving of their time and give us feedback for how to design a great solution. And so what we'll do is we'll have conversations with those panels of advisors, and we look at, to your point, how many button clicks are there, how much are they scrolling, where do their eyeballs go on the screen. We ask a number of questions like, is this useful, is it intuitive, where do you need help, make sure that help is in the experience instead of forcing anybody to navigate away from help. And we want to use the power of the community that we've built to drive differentiation in a really, really simple experience wherever possible. This industry has a lot of complexity to it, right? There are a lot of rules to follow, a lot of complicated processes, some of which are not, I'll call it single actor or simple one-click type processes. Sometimes you have an age or a workflow to some of these processes. And so what we want to really design is the best articulation of this streamlined process. So in the example that you gave around account opening, or we're in the middle of rolling out a revision to our money movement processes, which is similar sort of a mindset. We're looking to take away as many steps as we can, right? Because if you can reduce the amount of complexity in the process that people are following, it saves you time, saves you heartburn, and and how to service or handle operational issues that might result from that complexity later on. And we're trying to ask only the questions that we need to ask or capture the information we need to capture to complete the task in the moment. A lot of processes in this industry were built where, like, right up front, I'll ask you every possible question that I might ever have to ask you so that the account doesn't get NIGO'd or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what we've had great success on and really industry leading or industry low NIGO rates is if you only ask the questions in the moment when it's needed, right? You take a bunch of friction out of the system, mm-hmm. and you're making sure that you're capturing it at a high quality, the information you need so that the account is in good order, the transactions are successful, and you have an ability to do straight through processing with automation as well. So we've been able to take a lot of time out of the day of an advisor of some of those administrative tasks. And like I said, you know, some of the things that we'll do a little bit later this year around money movement are an extension of that sort of a mindset.
And speaking of integrations, I wanted to talk about acquisition you made, one of the few acquisitions you made, and back in 2020 when you acquired Portfolio Balancing Engine, Blaze Portfolio. And how is that integration going, and how what would can advisors expect to see with how Portfolio Balancing is handled inside client ones?
Yeah, so we're excited about it. I think, honestly, it's taken us a little bit longer than we would have wanted to fully release all of the capabilities. But I think we're feeling very, very good about where we've been. In truth, we could have gone to market faster, but we want to hold ourselves accountable to delivering a great and useful experience. And so a little bit about Blaze. Blaze is a great technology that allows advisors to initiate rebalancing actions. There are a number of products out in the market. We believe Blaze offered a great set of features. What our strategy has been with Blaze is to make sure that it's embedded within the operating system of ClientWorks. So one of the principles was don't ask an advisor to swivel chair, right? If I want to rebalance my portfolio, I want to see all those trades show up right away in my advisor workstation, right? A lot of the tools in the industry work, you can go to the rebalancing technology, you can submit all your trades, you can see the updates there in real time. But when you want to bring it back, you have to wait for like a nightly batch or something to run before you see all those positions updated. So what we've been working on is all of the underlying foundational items that you would need to have to make sure that you could, select, a thousand trades and go ahead and submit it and make sure that all of those show up in real time in the advisor workstation so that you avoid errors like, hey, do I have the right amount of cash in the account, et cetera. I'm not comparing two systems if there are subsequent actions I want to take in the day. So that was like the underlying principle that we were trying to achieve. You mentioned the UI UX team. We've had them working on this from the very beginning. And so what we've been working on with our pilot users of ClientWorks Rebalancer is it simple? Is it intuitive? Does it save you time? And we've resisted the scaling of the solution until we had the foundational scale built correctly and the experience feedback we were getting from advisors was outstanding. And so now we have about 800 advisors on the platform in our final wave of our pilot. And we are, based on their feedback, ready to start our national rollout now in the spring, because the feedback we're getting from them is it saves them a huge amount of time. When they go in to rebalance a portfolio, you know, we hear a quicker acceleration, what used to take them 5 or 6 minutes now takes them less than a minute. We offer it at a better price point now. And so it's really a differentiating capability that we're excited about. And, you know, we will start here very, very shortly here in the spring and then roll out over the next year to everybody that wants it on the platform.
Great to hear. I mean, we have followed Blaze Portfolio for many years. I know Bryson visited him in his office in Chicago. One of the things I liked about his platform was that it was built on top of an OMS. It wasn't a rebalancer that plugged into an OMS. He built it on top of an OMS. So I think that gave him some better capabilities for advisors who are a little bit more focused on where they're trading.
Absolutely. And it gave us an opportunity to redesign our OMS, right? Ultimately, because and this is where some of these capabilities, when you add them, of course, we're focused on the rebalancer, but an OMS applies to all trading, you know? And it did allow us.
Gotta go somewhere. You can't generate it without sending it somewhere, right?
That's exactly right.
That's good to hear. So 800 advisors in the pilot. That's a big pilot.
Yeah, like I said, it's the final. It's our final wave of our pilot now, and the feedback is tremendous. And so we are now getting ready for our first wave of national rollout.
All right, we're almost out of time. Can you share regarding ClientWorks? I know you don't want to say what version number. I was very focused on the version numbers because I've been following ClientWorks since it came out. Since it was BranchNet, right? So I've been following. So no version number. The next iteration of ClientWorks. What are we going to expect? What's coming this year down the pipe?
Yeah, so this year, I think what you can expect are a couple of things. First, if you could think better checking rebalancing products, as well as e-signature capabilities, really just anything that you would do over the next 12 months to improve how much time do we save in the platform for advisors, right? So, you know, over the past couple of years, we've been focused on making sure the platform is comprehensive. It has all the capabilities that you would expect it to have. It's a single location to access, you know, all client account types, the data streamlined, et cetera. But going forward for the next 12 months, it's some of the things that I've mentioned already here. It's better move money capabilities, the ClientWorks rebalancer, national rollout, e-signature capabilities, continuing to iterate on how do we present information simply in the experience so that advisors aren't having to find it all the time. And then, you know, I think we talked about AI at the beginning. We are going to look for ways to incorporate that in the mission of how do you help an advisor be a great advisor, albeit, you know, better products and services that they might offer, better touch points or easier touch points, CRM integrations, et cetera, or help them to understand what they might be able to do to run a more thriving business themselves.
Greg, you've said it all. We really appreciate everything you share with us. Where can our listeners find out more information about LPL Financial?
Well, I certainly can check us out on lpl.com. If anybody's interested, I'm an easy person to find. You can find me as well on LinkedIn or anywhere. We'd love to engage with anybody who has some ideas on how we can improve and serve advisors and institutions even better than we do today.
Fantastic, Greg. Thanks so much for being here.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's Greg again. Here are my top three takeaways from this episode. AI is crucial for LPL to differentiate and add value, according to Greg. Now, LPL has used AI to generate insights and operational optimization, including in their new, not new tool, but their tool called the Practice Hub. They have recent advances that enable advisors to generate their own content and streamline their workflows. And LPL is piloting some AI tools to help advisors be more efficient, be more present with clients, and identify next best actions to improve their businesses. Number two, integrations. We love talking about integrations. ClientWorks has evolved from a closed platform to a fully integrated advisor operating system. I think I might steal that term, an advisor operating system, with a host of optional third-party applications. And the goal is to minimize the nemesis of advisors, the swivel chair, and reduce duplicate data entry. And of course, LPL curates a host of integrations with third-party applications based on their strategic relevance, whether they're best of breed, and their ability to connect and move data bi-directionally. And third, rebalancing. Their acquisition of Blaze Portfolio in 2020, the integration has taken a little bit longer than they expected, but they did a lot of improvements on the UX. Integrating it into ClientWorks become the new rebalancing tool. And they had an 800 advisor pilot. That's a big pilot. And according to Greg, the feedback was very positive. They saw advisors save significant time in rebalancing, and they plan for a national rollout beginning later this year. All right. You've reached the end of another episode of the Wealth Tech Today podcast. Thanks for listening. But before you go, head over to our website, ezragroup.com, and scroll to the bottom of the homepage and sign up for our newsletter. Once a month, you'll receive an email chock full of wealth management goodness, news, updates, information. You won't be disappointed. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you all again next time.